given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body. Why? So that just as Christ did, that we can serve. We're here to serve one another. Just as Christ was our example, he came to serve and not be served. And also to reveal God's presence to others. Meaning when we use them, we know God is in the house. Like, people experience God's presence when you use whatever gift that is. And so we're going to continue in on this. I talked about a few warnings, reminder of some warnings. If there, warning number one is, if there's something you get really frustrated about in church, and you're like, why doesn't our church do dot, 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 and it's just like something that's always bothering you, it might be a sign that that is your gifting, right? If you're frustrated about something, you may be seeing things that others don't see because you have this gift, this spiritual gift to see it and want to do something about it. So this, maybe use that as a litmus test a little bit. We've also given everybody, and you have an access to this if you want to on your way out, we've got these spiritual gift assessments, which is like a little test that you can go through and figure out what your gifts are. Those are on the table as you leave. You can grab one of those. And those are good. I call them litmus tests because they're like, sometimes they're right on. Sometimes they're like, well, I'm not sure if that's my gift. But you don't know until you start using it in community. Until you start using it with other people and they say, I think that is your gift. You know, whenever you do that, there's just something that God does. And so you need affirmation from the body. That's why we're a body. That's why we're connected together. And so we want you to experience that through this series. So frustrations might be a revelation of your gift, but be careful to not let your frustrations become a holy huddle of discontent, meaning you start judging other people for not using the gift that you think they should use. I'm talking about that warning because, like, if an example is like gift of evangelism, somebody really loves telling people about Jesus, and like, I have to tell everybody about Jesus, but somebody else is like, boy, that's hard for me. That's more of a discipline than a gift. I know I'm supposed to, so I do my best. The person with the gift is like, aren't you a Christian? You know, they start judging other people for not using the gift that they naturally have. We need to be careful with those. So don't let our frustrations become judgment towards others, but let them become that thing that we start to use and see what fruit might happen. Because the Holy Spirit's role and goal every time is unity. If it's bringing disunity, it's a sideways gift, or it's our sin nature at work, right? We're abusing what God gave us. So let's be careful that we're walking into God's unity. So we have separated the 21 gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, all these gifts, these 21, we're breaking them into three groupings: the love gifts, the word gifts, and the power gifts. And so love, word, and power. Last week we talked about the love gifts, the gifts that when you use them, you just experience God's love and presence in that moment. And if you weren't here last week, I would say go back and watch those, because that is probably the largest group of gifting in the body, usually is those love gifts, because we all need them. We need those hidden kind of rebar building up kind of gifts to help support everybody in the works and ministry that we're called to do. But today, we are talking about the first three of the word gifts, okay? The word gifts. And the word gifts, this is what they do. They clarify the nature, action, and purposes of God. Word gifts clarify the nature, action, and purposes of God using what? Words, right? That's the whole point. This is a vocal gift. This is when people speak, you learn, you grow, something changes, okay? I would encourage you this week, pull out your worship program. I do have like long fill in the blanks again, so that if you have these gifts, as you're writing them down, be like, oh yeah, that's me. Or this is the only series I said it's okay to elbow people, right? Like, I think this is you because it's positive, right? We're not like ragging on people. Like, if you think somebody has that gift, maybe go to them and say, I think you might have this, or I've seen this in you. That's a part of that community of encouragement and encouraging one another. Now, I want to give an illustration here because these spiritual gifts, it's kind of like ice cream. Do we have any ice cream lovers? Like, especially like, this is like ice cream weekend, right? Like, this is when you kick off. It's like summer. It's like, whoa, let's make some homemade ice cream, that kind of stuff. If you don't love ice cream, I will pray for you, all right? Or maybe the problem is ice cream doesn't love you, right? Like, that's a whole other issue. But have you ever been to one of those shops where it's like an ice cream store, and they just have like a plethora of flavors of ice cream. You go in and it's like the high quality stuff. If this isn't, you're buying it at a store, you're showing up, they made it in the back for you this morning, and it's like there and ready, and it's delicious, and they have all these different flavors. Maybe they have vanilla and chocolate, but it's like a whole nother level of vanilla and chocolate. You know, it's like vanilla bean. They actually, it's not just squirting a sauce in, like it's like the real thing. And then you have all these cool flavors. I don't know what your favorite flavor is, you know. For me, it is waffle cone chocolate chunk. Like, that's one of my favorites right now. And it'll shift because they always come out with greater things. So, but there's the Neapolitan, or as some people call it, Napoleon ice cream, right? Like, that's the chocolate, strawberry, vanilla all in one. And you're like, I just want the strawberry, please. You know, so you got to scoop out of the three sections. Or, so I'm wondering, what is your favorite flavor of ice cream? This is what I want you to do, the count of three. I want you to find two people around you and let them know what your favorite ice cream is, okay? Everybody ready? One, two, three, go. Share. So who wants some ice cream now, right? Like who wants some? Who's in it, right? Here's why I wanted you to think about that. Because spiritual gifts are kind of like flavors of ice cream. Like for some of us in our spiritual gifting, we may be pretty simple. Maybe we have one gift. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to just work in this one thing. And so you might be like vanilla or chocolate or strawberry, but you're a good vanilla, good chocolate, strawberry. Some of you, you're kind of like that mixed flavor, right? You're like, maybe you're like Butterfinger, you know? You got a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of peanut butter chunks, and some vanilla in there. But what I'm trying to paint the picture is that all of us with our gifting are going to be different. When you go to a good ice cream place, you're going to have good quality, and you're going to have good variety, right? And that's what we're looking for in the gifts. We want good quality in our spiritual gifts, meaning our character has to raise the level of our giftedness. That our integrity, the way we live a godly life, the spiritual disciplines, when those are in play, that's our quality of Christian life. Need to match up to our giftedness. And when that happens, God does amazing things, amazing things. And so it's really hard for any of us to judge anybody else upon their gifting. We need all of it. We need all the flavors. We need all the quality. We need all of us to do our part in what God's called us to do, okay? So we're learning what flavor you are, right? What flavor are you? What giftedness do you have in these things that we're talking about? And so let's just jump right in. I'm going to use our time well this morning, okay? Sound good? Everybody, you ready? Pens are ready? First gift that we're talking about in this word gifts is the gift of teaching, all right? The gift of teaching. Gift of teaching, Romans 12:7 says, if it is teaching, do what? Then teach, right? Like if that's your gift, use it. Flex those muscles. Ephesians 4:11-12. We read this a lot. So Christ gave himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers to do what? Equip the people for works of service. So teachers, teaching is a spiritual gift. Now, let me separate the two because we have a lot of just teachers in the room that's your profession, right? Like you go to school, you teach kids, maybe you've retired from that, you've taught kids, and like that's what you did every single day. It may not be that you have a gift of teaching because this one's different than just like teaching teaching from a book or teaching math or teaching history. This one's a little different. Because the gifting from the Holy Spirit is to teach God's word. So it's a little different than just like, I'm a good teacher, I can teach people things. That can be a discipline, like you can learn how to do that, right? And you can grow in that. Some of you have just natural talent to just like, I love being in front of kids or I love being in front of people, I love teaching that kind of stuff. This one, we're talking about the spiritual front, right? This gift of teaching goes to this realm of spirituality, that whenever you start speaking, your goal is to make God's word make sense. Let me explain it this way. If you want to write this down and fill in your blanks. If you have the gift of teaching, and I make these statements like if you have them, right? If you have the gift of teaching, when you teach the Bible, you get regular comments from people saying they understand the Bible in a way that they didn't before. They say that God said something to them directly as you were teaching, and they walk in obedience to God's word because of it. if you have the gift of teaching, when you teach it, people say, man, I understood what you're saying. I understand the Bible in a way I didn't know. They say, whenever you said this, I heard and I felt like God said something directly to me. And in turn, when you teach, people actually obey what they hear. They like walk into it. They understand it in a way like, now I got to change something. I got to move. Something's got to change in my life. If you have this gift of teaching, you want more biblical knowledge. You get frustrated when somebody misuses, misquotes, or interprets the scripture wrongly. That just drives you nuts. The gift of teaching is present when the response and the change in the listeners cannot be explained just by the content alone. Something else happened in that moment of teaching. Some other spiritual interaction happened. And people respond because they hear God speaking directly to them, and they need to think differently, change, or redirect their life in some way. The phrase I always say is, as people are leaving, they make comments like that, like, man, that was really good, or man, I heard this, or I say, well, we just try to make God's word make sense in your life. That is the spiritual gift of teaching. Now, this is one of my strong gifts. This is like this weekend, I get to talk about two of my top two. I'm like, woo, okay. but like, so for you, whenever you have heard somebody with that gift, would you say, yes, I agree with those statements, right? Like, when you've been in the presence of a teacher who's really good, have you ever been in the presence of a really bad teacher? Like, whether that's been in school, it could have been in school, I'm just talking about just natural gifting, or, you know, or whether it's been in a sermon or you've been in front of a pastor and your whole wish is like, just let it be over, right? Have you ever had that? It's like, Bueller, right? Like, that kind of teacher is monotone, just like, you just have to, like, get through it. But maybe some of you in school or even in college, you had those teachers that showed you just, like, special, they just had a special way of connecting you with whatever they're talking about, right? Like, you wanted to hear more. You were engaged in whatever the topic was. Isn't that cool when you find a teacher like that? This one, now take that to like this whole other level where God just does whatever he wants in the midst of it. And that in that moment, like, it just wrecks people in the best possible way. It convicts people to change and grow, and it encourages them. There's all sorts of spiritual things that happen when somebody with this giftedness uses it and starts flexing those spiritual muscles. But there's a big issue with this gifting. Because all these other gifts, we're going to be held to account when we get to God of how we used our gifts. Because the Holy Spirit gave it to you for a reason. If you don't use it, he's going to ask you, hey, I gave that. What were you doing with it? And this one, the gift of teaching, has a higher account. This is the scary part about the seat that I sit in and others sit in here at the church. Because this is what it says in James chapter 3. It says, not many of you should become teachers. That's an encouragement. It's like, this one's difficult, he's saying. My fellow believers, why? Because you know that you who teach will be judged more strictly. That we are held to a higher account. When I see God one day, there's going to be like this, and then it's going to be like, it's like Jesus is going to pull the teachers aside and say, hey, by the way, good job. Dude, that was wrong, right? Like we're going to be held to account to what we teach. Why? Because teaching is the rudder of the movement in the church. It's the thing that steers us, all of us. And if I'm off, if we're off, if something's off, and we point an entire body in the wrong direction, whoa. You hear the weight behind that? So like, to know that we know, whoever's up here teaching us knows that they know, okay, this is where I'm at. Now here's the challenge with this. You know, this has been my journey. There's been times I've taught things like in my past that later on I continued to study and grow, and I had to go, oh, I wasn't quite on that one. And so even with teaching and this gift, there are those moments where I'm going to teach what I know up until now, right? And I'm going to continue to grow because I have a hunger for God's word. And if there's a moment that I really mess up, I'm going to come back and say, hey guys, I really messed up on this one. I want to be sure that rudder wasn't steered away this way, right? And come back. That's one reason why here at New Hope we have a teaching team, because we hold each other to account to be sure that we know what we're teaching is in God's word and we're not just like going off wherever we want to. We want to stay in alignment, and that's a group, that's a plurality of leaders holding each other accountable to, like, we're staying on track with God's word. And does that make sense? There's this new weight to it. 1 Timothy 4:16, and I think it says 4:6 in your notes, but it's 4:16, says this, and this is a word to us teachers. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So not only will judgment be more strict in the end, but it is more strict in the eyes of everybody that you're teaching, right? It's easy to judge the person who's bringing the message because we all are hearing it through our own filter, our own experience, our own church, our own reading. And so we're called to watch our doctrine closely, our life closely, because I want to save myself. I want to be sure I'm right, and I want to help you guys walk into that truth. There's a higher level of accountability to this gifting, to this gift of teaching. Our desire is to always make God's word make sense in your life. So that, in a nutshell, is the gift of teaching. That's pretty quick, right? We good? All right. Now, let me give some warnings, because this gift is more of an upfront on the stage. You know, if you're a teacher, you're going to be around people. One thing I've had to learn, because I've been in ministry a long time, I've been a pastor a long time, it's really interesting going to pastor conferences with a bunch of other pastors from other churches, because there's this comparison thing that happens. And you probably have that too when you talk to other people at other churches. They come up to you and tell me about your church. What are some of the first questions they ask? It's, well, how big is it, right? Or how many people come to your church? Or what are you guys doing? Are you doing anything for this? Whatever is important to them, they're asking if your church is doing it. And so this comparison stuff starts happening. And the thing, it happens with teachers as well, because there's some teachers that God has blessed with insanely large ministries, like insanely large, like hundreds of thousands of people listen to their messages every single week. And it's like, talk about accountability and weight, right? Like, I'm glad I don't have that. You know, I just got us, all right? If I mess you up, sorry, right? But like, I'm not messing up hundreds of thousands of people like with bad doctrine. But then you have people who are shepherding a body of like 10. And they're the teacher for that group of 10 or whatever that might be. With the spiritual gifts, we need to be careful to not compare the effectiveness or the bigness maybe externally that we see of somebody using their gift compared to how your gift works. This is another warning zone, okay? A little red light here. I want us to all just close our eyes in a moment, okay? And this isn't, I'm not making it hypnotize you or anything like that. But I want us to picture something in your head. So everybody just close your eyes for a moment. And I'm going to ask you to picture something in your mind. I want you to envision a river. Just however, wherever you want it to look like. And however big it might be, just you see water flowing and you see movement of that water going. And as you're envisioning that river, what is on either side of that river? It's the river banks, right? There's something containing it. There's something holding it in place. You guys can open your eyes. See, our spiritual giftedness is kind of like that river you just had in your mind. Because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the gift, and then it's the Holy Spirit that determines where the banks of our river go with our gifting. You know, you think about a river, it's powerful. I mean, water is powerful. If you get into water that's flowing really fast, it could be this deep and you can drown and lose control, right? Like, water is powerful. And we think about the flow of the Spirit and the giftedness, it's kind of like that. It's like that water flowing out of us. It's that gift that God uses in us. And for us, we need to understand that God is, the Holy Spirit is the giver of the gift, but he's also the one who determines the width and breadth and flow of the gift he gives us. We don't get to decide that, right? We don't get to decide, man, I just know with my gift, my river's going to be huge, right? And the water's going to be rushing. It's going to be, the banks are going to be high, and I've got my flow, whatever God wants to do. And for some of us, that might be true. I think about those teachers. I'm thinking about the teaching gift that have that. It's like they've got the hundreds of thousands that God has allowed them, their river, just to be wide and to be flowing. It's like that's the Holy Spirit saying, I've gifted you. Now I'm determining the width of your banks. And like for some, like for me, my banks are a little bit smaller. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to be faithful. Whatever the width and breadth you want me to use my gift. And that goes for all the gifts. that we're talking about, all the love gifts, you know, whatever it might be. If it's encouragement, we're going to talk about it in a minute. However God wants to open the door for to use that, whether it's just might be a small stream, you know, and you're just going to be faithful, or if it's like a larger creek or a river, or fill in the blank. Let the Holy Spirit be the one that determines it. Let's not force it. When we force it, we start stepping out of the bounds of God's will. We let God be the one that uses us and then shows us the width of our banks. Does that make sense? So I just want us to be careful as we do this, because these gifts, the word gifts, because they're up front, they're like public gifts, they're like on the stage type of gifts, these ones we can really get out of whack with this one about like judging the size of other people's, you know, churches or teams or whatever it might be. And so we have to be careful to understand that our purpose here in this is our Christian character, our integrity and disciplines. As we grow in those, the Holy Spirit has gifted us. He may choose to widen, or he may choose to keep our banks where they're at. It's up to him as we do that. Our part is growing in integrity, persevering in our life and in our doctrine, and we let the Holy Spirit do his work, okay? So gift of teaching, we've got different flavors of ice cream going. I got you hungry earlier. Let's go to the next gift, okay? Here we go. The next gift we're talking about this morning is one that there are a lot more people who have this one. Actually, when I went through, because many of you have gone through our growth track. Our growth track, we do the spiritual gift test during that time. I had a long list of people with this gift in this. So some of you in this room, you're in this category, and I want you to listen, to have your ears attentive to this one. So this is the gift, the spiritual gift of exhortation or encouragement. It's kind of the similar word, okay? Similar word in Romans 12. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. I love all these verses. It's like, if that's your gift, then use it, right? You're held to account to use that gift of exhortation or encouragement. This is what it might look like if you have this gift, okay? If you have this gift, this is what you do. You strengthen and encourage those who are struggling in life or wavering in their faith. You uplift and motivate others, as well as challenge and rebuke them in order to foster spiritual growth and action. If you have this gift, you urge people to action in terms of applying biblical truth. You want people to understand the scriptures and apply it to their life. You encourage them in their biblical truths to comfort them through application. And you urge them to keep walking in the faith, to keep moving forward. I'm telling you, this gift is an important one. Without this one, we'd be missing out as a church. And we would have a lot of people who would be struggling deeply. You know, last week we talked about the love gift of mercy. And we need people who empathize with people, who feel what they feel, and just are there with them. Their job is to bring the Kleenex and a hug, right? Not to fix anybody. This one's similar to that, but the mercy gift is really about like being present. This one is about a word gift, meaning this gift is flown out of what you say to people in interaction with them, okay? What you say to them is when you see somebody who's struggling with something, it's like you go up to them and you speak life into them. I mean, you encourage the snot out of them. You're just like, oh, you're awesome. Isn't God awesome? And it's so cool what he's doing. And then you rebuke them. Meaning if there's something out of a line, this is the exhortation part. You say, now here's the thing. If you keep walking on this path, you're going to keep experiencing this pain. But I believe God can do this in you, and God is great, and you have the strength in you to move forward. And then they encourage you again. It's like a little encouragement exhortation sandwich, right? let me explain it this way, and I tried to get some props today, but you're going to have to use your imagination with me. It's kind of like a cheerleader, you know? Anybody know you've seen cheerleaders, right? Like, cheerleader's job is to make everybody excited, right? It's like, rah, 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 right? And they're doing that thing, and like, let's go, woo, you know? And they're like celebrating. They're trying to get people encouraged, like, yeah, well, this is going to be awesome here, woo! Like, that's the cheerleader, and this is a part of that role. Like, you're the cheerleader for people, and don't judge me for my actions, all right? So, but like, they're like, you know, they're really there to make you feel like, oh, I can do this. We're going to do this. We're going to win. I'm going to have victory in this thing. Like, they're there to just make you feel great in that moment. That's what a cheerleader does. But this role isn't just a cheerleader, because we all need that, right? We all need people who just, they love giving words of encouragement. They love, like, speaking life into you. We need those people. And then the other part of it, though, is they're kind of like the coach as well. Like, during practice, the coach might be along the side, and, like, you're practicing and you're doing something out on the court. Let's say it's basketball. All of a sudden, during that practice, the coach has the whistle, right? And he blows the whistle and is like, stop, stop, stop. And he points out something you're not doing right, you know? He's like, okay, that play was all wrong. You messed up on that, okay? So you go here, you go here. Let's fix it. Go again, right? And then they step back and they watch it, and they blow the whistle again. All right, stop, stop, stop. And the role of the coach is to help them get better, right? The role of the coach is to show them where they're off, where things aren't going the way they should. And that is the exhortation kind of part of the gifting. When they see something that's like, that's out of alignment, that's not quite where it should be, this gift says, I know what God's word is, and my goal is to exhort you or to challenge you to start walking more into God's word in your life in that thing that you're dealing with. Right? So they will continually come back and say, man, this is what I think God says. And they may not like quote verse and chapter, and but they'll give you that biblical concept, like, here's the advice that I would have. And then they will move right back to the cheerleader. And you're awesome. And you can do it. I believe in you. This gift, we need this. We need these type of people who do this. Now, this one, this again, it's different than mercy. Mercy's more about Kleenex and hugs. I'm present, I'm here, and ouch. You know, I feel what you're feeling. This one is, I may feel a little bit what you're feeling, but man, let's do this. You got this. And the gift of encouragement would be those people that see things that people do, that they're like, that was great. And they'll send you a note of encouragement. They'll be like, hey, thank you so much for da, 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 da. It was so awesome to see da, 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 da. And when you... us, the rest of us who don't have this, are the recipients of that. God fills us up in a spiritual way. There's a different exchange other than just like a, you're great, yay, card, you know? Like, it's like God uses it to fill something in your soul that you needed to hear in that moment. We've got some people in the church here that have done that for me, you know, multiple times. And it's so funny what God does. Because it could be like on a Monday. Mondays are hard for pastors because they give all of themselves on a Sunday. And then like Monday is like the crash after. I call it the Monday hangover. Like it's like, oh, I'm so tired. And I just gave all myself. And so Mondays can be really hard. I don't know how many Mondays where I've got a random email from somebody that has this gift. And they're just like, Pastor Tim, I just wanted to say that you're enough. I'm so grateful for what you shared yesterday. And God said da 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 da. And in that moment, for me, it is as if it's the voice of God speaking straight to my soul. Have you ever experienced that? That is that spiritual gift at play, okay? Now, for us, we see some examples of this. This gift is mostly one-on-one. It's mostly like when individuals see something individual. This gift can be kind of that mixed flavor kind of thing, where if it's connected with gifts, the gift of teaching and this gift of encouragement, that some people can use that in a crowd and encourage the crowd, you know, as they're teaching something, and they feel encouraged, and then they feel challenged, and then they feel happy again, right? It's like the hug, slap, hug kind of a thing, you know what I'm talking about? But typically, it's used one-on-one, right? There's one man in the Bible in the New Testament that we see through the book of Acts who affected the whole New Testament in a way that most of us don't realize. And I talked about him last week with the gift of giving. His name is Barnabas. See, Barnabas gives us this beautiful example of an encourager. Actually, that's what they called him, the son of encouragement. He came alongside Paul when nobody else really wanted to, because it's like Saul became Paul, and he's kind of like this guy that they're wondering, is he really going to do what he is saying he is, or is he still against us? And then Barnabas came alongside Paul and ministered with him and encouraged him as they continued to go on the journey. He was there when the Gentiles were invited into the story, not just the Jews, into this Christian thing. And he was there when they were first called Christians. Barnabas was present in that moment when we and they were called Christians for the first time. And he used his gift of encouragement over and over and over again. Later on, with this guy by the name of John Mark, who became a conflict between Paul and Barnabas, was this guy John Mark. And Barnabas was like, I'm going to stay with John Mark, and I'm going to encourage him and walk alongside him. Here's the thing. Without Barnabas, we'd be missing 14 books of the New Testament. Because he was the one who walked alongside and encouraged these men as they went and used their gift of teaching, of apostleship, of missions, right? Spreading the gospel work. This is what one author, Leslie Flynn, said. He said, if it weren't for Barnabas, or if Barnabas had not used his gift of encouragement, we'd be missing half the New Testament. He took John Mark under his training and Paul, and the 14 books and letters of the New Testament would not be present if it weren't for Barnabas. See how important this gift is? Barnabas never wrote. He didn't write any of the New Testament. But without him, I think we'd be missing it. This is what it says in Acts chapter 11. When Barnabas showed up to one of the churches in Antioch, it says, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And then when he arrived and saw the grace of God, or what the grace of God had done, he was glad. And what did he do? He encouraged them. He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. That's the description of the gift of encouragement and exhortation. Like, that's what Barnabas was doing. He's like, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to say, keep walking in this. Challenge you, right? Encourage and challenge. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Why? Because Barnabas used his gift. Because Barnabas encouraged and challenged. And he did it to the church, and he did it to individuals, and God did what? He added to the number of the church. The church grew because he used his gift. So I'm wondering, do you have that? Do you have the gift of exhortation and encouragement? There are a number of you in this room that I actually know that you have this. How are you using it? And who are you using it with? Because this one, without you, we won't keep moving forward. And I'll say this all the more. Without you doing this for your leaders may not move forward in what God would call them to do. Your gift is needed in the body of Christ. Exhortation and encouragement. Okay. See, we're moving right along. Right along. So if anybody comes up to you, hugs you, slaps you, and hugs you, they have this gift. All right? Apostleship. All right. Let's go with this last one for this morning. Is the gift of apostleship. Now, this one, we got to put our thinking caps on a little bit, because this one has some controversy in the church, because there's the office of apostle, capital A apostle, which is different than the gift of apostleship, okay? And we see both in the New Testament. And so I want to describe this. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, and God has placed in the church, first of all, what? Apostles, lowercase a, apostles. And so with this, we see it in Ephesians 4:2, Christ gave himself to the church, the apostles, that there is a difference between the office of apostle, when we talk about the 12 apostles in the beginning of the church, and then the gift of apostleship that we see continue lived out in the New Testament. Now, let me describe the difference between those two, okay? Capital A apostle, or the office of apostle, was only for the 12. And then later on, it was plus Paul. Because to have the role of an apostle, you had to be present with Jesus, be actually called by Jesus physically, you know, into that ministry and into that work. To be an apostle in that role, you acted as a prophet, as if you were one of the Old Testament prophets. You had a special calling on your life, and you had the power and authority to write scripture. We don't have that anymore, all right? The scripture's complete. These apostles, these 12 plus Paul, who experienced all those things in the presence of Jesus, the whole purpose of those apostles, was to build the foundation of the New Testament church, which is what we're living in today, right? So that is the office of apostle. There's no more of those. There's nobody else who has been in the front of Jesus physically, who then Jesus has said, I'm calling you to do this, and I'm telling you to write scripture. Like, that doesn't exist any longer. But we see a gifting of apostleship throughout the New Testament, which is different, because the word apostle directly, this is what it translates, Apostle, it's that word. It's Greek, all right? Apostolos. Probably somebody could pronounce it better than me. And it literally just means a messenger or one sent on a mission. And so we see people in Scripture who are called apostles through the New Testament after the 12, and that's what they were. They were sent ones. They were the people who were sent to go to a new place to launch a new work of God in that community, whatever it was. And we see the examples of these people who were called apostles, lowercase a, in the New Testament, like Timothy, we just talked about him, Silas, Barnabas, Titus, Andronicus, Junia, Epaphroditus. There's a lot of cool names in the Bible, all right? And so all these were listed among the apostles, lowercase a, because they were ones that were sent. They were sent to a new land to do a new work for the kingdom of God in that area and to start a foundation of the church in a new community. This giftedness, it's pretty interesting when you see the list of names, because we see those who have this gift were both men and women. They were of different ethnicities that we don't see like any particular one. Like, it wasn't just men of this race, right? It was men, women, different ethnicities that had this gift of apostleship and were sent out to start new works of ministry. Apostleship. So let me describe it, okay? This is what it looks like. If you have this gift of apostleship, that you desire to start new ministries or churches to reach new people for Christ. You just have this inward desire that's just in you. You want to continually start new things. You are continually sent to help create new communities of Christ followers. You got to go somewhere else, and your desire is, who doesn't know Jesus, right? This is different than evangelism, because the gift of evangelism we'll get to in the weeks coming is more about one-on-one or even in a group setting, like saying, come to Jesus, and God does miraculous things in that moment. This one is more like a missionary. Like, I want to go to a new place to launch a new movement, whatever that is. This is number one on my list. This is the spiritual entrepreneurs. These are the ones that love thinking out of the box to reach people that nobody else is reaching. And this one, when you start using that, that's what happens. Like, people who weren't connected to church or God all of a sudden start being connected, not just to like a church, but to a body of believers. And when these members were sent out to these different places, like Timothy was sent to now build the foundation of the church where he was planted, and then it started to grow, and he kept teaching, and he uses his teaching and apostleship and continued to make that grow, that's what happens. It grows. It grows. Now, there's some danger zones with this one, because these guys are the dreamers. I should say, not just guys. These people, these men and women are dreamers, and they will incessantly dream about what could be. And this can drive the administrators nuts. Remember we talked about the gift of administration last week? They're the ones that are like, I see your vision, and these are the dots that we got to check. You know, this is what we got to do in order to get there. Da, 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 da. And the dreamer's like, no, let's just do it, right? They're just like, we got to go. You know, we got to start this new thing. And so we need both gifts at play, right? If we're all just dreamers, we might go start things that look really messy and disorganized all the time. I've been guilty of that. Like, and those of you who work beside me, like, yep, that's Tim. We need all the gifts at play, and this one, the gift of apostle, you see that in both the passages, it's very interesting. In both the passages that are talked about, the gift of apostles that I just read, Christ gave to the church first apostles. Interesting. And then in Ephesians 4, right? He's like, he gave to them apostles, prophets. It's the first one in both lists. Why? If nobody's going to reach lost people, there's no church to be grown. God's desire was to continue to expand the message of the gospel. And he called apostles to be part of that. They're like, go. My message has to keep going. So I need my apostles dreaming and going and dreaming and going and multiplying what this is. It's a powerful gift. If this is you, you operate in a translocal manner, but you do not operate independently. You are a local church based and you represent a particular church, but you minister in many fields beyond. Apostles are critical to the life of a church to realize its mission to reach out in new ways for the cause of the gospel. That's the gift of apostleship, and it's still needed today, right? We still need those sent people, the sent ones. And for some people, this is like that gift of missions, people that always have a passion to go overseas or go to reach a new people group. This is probably that thing that's operating in you. It's like, I just need to go to a new people. I need to learn a new language. I need to go to a new country. And it's never about tourism. It's never about like going and trying new food, right? Like it's the thing that's driving them is people need Jesus. And that's at the core of who they are, okay? That's the gift of apostleship. So I'm wondering, do you have that one? Is that something that drives you? And do you have the right people around you to help in that process? Because all these gifts are not solo gifts. We all need each other. We all need all of these at play. We need all the flavors, all the variety. So that, why? The church can be built up so that we can reach the unity in the faith. That's Jesus' dream of the church. Now, we're going to end this morning the same way we ended last week, which is at the end of each of these messages, we want to commission those who have these gifts in the church body. This is family time, okay? And last week, I listed a bunch of people because there's a lot of people who have the love gifts, and some of you were like, I wasn't going to come up, but then you said my name. That's right, I said your name, right? Because like those who have helps are like, I just still want to be in the background. I don't want to come up. Jess is over there snarking at me because she's one of them on our staff. And now I pointed at you even more. So, ha, 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 ha. So you can't hide is what I'm saying. This moment when we're talking about gifting, this isn't a Jesus and you moment. This is a Jesus and us moment. And so we want to celebrate us and celebrate you and commission you to use these gifts. So in a moment, I'm going to ask if you have one of these gifts to stand up and you're going to come up here and circle around. And us who are a part of our church are going to pray over you and commission you to use these gifts, okay? So let's do that now. If you feel like you have, and as I was talking, you're like, yeah, that's me. If that's you, I want you to go ahead and come up and stand right here, and we're going to pray over you and pray with you to commission you. And again, I printed a list of those in our growth track who have already taken it. So the gift of teaching, this is who I have. Rebecca Gosser, Tony Lieb, Charlie Schar, Polly Frazier, Tim, and Nikki Broughton. I'm already up here. All right. Exhortation and encouragement. This is a long list, and if this is you, go ahead and come stand right here. Hannah Dowd, Jamie Grieger, Danny Deal, Kylie Peterson, Maya Gosser, Gwen Kaufman, Jenny Carter, Sean Mead, Christina Moser, Brenda Solon, Sam Spence, Rachel Windham, Katie Crawford, Scott Williams, Kimmy Williams, Carson Papp, Ed Carnes, Carolyn Adams, James Crawford, Kendra Allison, Crystal Christ, Joan Snyder, Adam Stein, Bonnie Hickson, Trina Watts, Darlene Phillips, Reen Allison, Brian and Jill Clutter, Morgan Stein, Jess Chupp. I'm making you come up this time, Jess. I said your name. Pat Weber, Dolores Ewers, Charlie Bedida, Heather Mead, Chelsea Spence, and Nikki Broughton. And this is the gift of apostleship. The apostleship and teaching gifts are smaller lists for a reason. Because if all of us were teachers, if we had tons of teachers, we'd all say, be quiet, we're hearing too much, we're trying to figure out too much. But this is who I have in apostleship: Johnny Allison, Tony Young, Tracy Schar, Jim Franks, Veronica Hutchinson, and Tim Broughton. So would you guys come down here, and the rest of you who I didn't say your name, let's stand together. Would you stand and join me as we pray over these individuals? Go ahead and huddle in here. Keep coming in. This is what I asked last week, is for us, and this is a physical sign of agreement, is if you just want to kind of hold out your hand and pray and reach towards them as you pray. Because that's a sign of just saying, physically, I'm showing that I'm for them, and I'm praying in agreement with them. So if you, as a church body, would join me in this and pray for these who are using their gifts. And if you've been sitting on your gifts, let's get off of them. Let's start using them. Let's see what God can do. And start doing that in community. And let God affirm them in you. That's our heart here. Our job is to equip you to do the works of service. So would you guys pray with me? God, we're grateful that you've given us the Holy Spirit. That when Jesus ascended into heaven, you just didn't leave us to ourselves. That you gave us and put inside of us your Spirit. And so we are asking, by the power of that Spirit, who has gifted each one of these up here with these gifts, we're asking that you would fill them afresh and anew with an anointing for them to use these gifts in our church body to build us up, to unify us. I pray for those with the gift of teaching that you give them opportunities to teach and to use that. Those who have the gift of encouragement and exhortation, that you would open their eyes and help them be proactive to see where they can encourage people. They'd be led by your Spirit to do so throughout the week and each day. And I pray for those with the gift of apostleship that you would open their eyes to see the new places that you want to move, the new places that you want the gospel to be led to, and that you would raise these up, not for their glory, because the gifts don't give us glory, they give you glory. So it's for your glory that we ask these things. And it's in Jesus' name alone that we pray. Amen. 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 Awesome.